Welcome to Book It, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk frankly about books.
My name is Jill.
And my name is Michael.
Catch us every other Wednesday talking about books, publishing, indie bookstores, chatting with authors, and so much more.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Book It Pod for more Book It content.
Want to read something you heard about on today's episode? Visit us at bookshop.org/shop/BookItPod.
We want to give a huge shout out to today's sponsor, Gay Shorts, which is a limited series Pride Month podcast featuring LGBTQ+ stories, but more on them later.
Sidebar listeners, Michael and I just talked for 5 minutes in which I was not recording at all.
No, it was not 5 minutes. It was like a minute and a half. Give yourself some credit.
You're being very kind. How are you today? Okay, fine.
I am great. And I was recording, but I was in the middle of telling the story that I'm about to tell, but Jill still doesn't know the ending. We didn't get that far.
Start over.
Okay. So we are recording right now on a Wednesday, and our episodes air on Wednesday or stream on Wednesday mornings. And I go into the back end and I, of course, schedule the episodes for Wednesdays. Usually I do them a couple of days before. If I'm super ahead, maybe a week. I don't have a brain right now. And I just yesterday, I remember walking up my steps to go into my office and thinking, you still have to do that. You need to go schedule the episode. And that was equivalent to actually doing it for me.
Sure.
So I spent the rest of the day doing literally nothing and watching TV with my husband and feeling very good, like good for the first time in a long time. And we were going to bed, and I was like one deep breath away from being asleep.
Oh, no.
And my body like jolted with the reality that I hadn't scheduled the episode.
Oh, no.
So I get out of bed really quickly, and I just run downstairs and scheduled what I hoped was the episode because I was so tired.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was the episode. So that's a little bit of the behind-the-scenes sexiness of what it looks like to work on Book It. It's forgetting to upload your episodes and then in your pajamas at midnight uploading the episode to air 6 hours later.
I love that. It makes me feel better about my own COVID brain these days.
Yeah.
Clearly.
I'm done with COVID brain.
You know, if we want to have episodes, we should... I should record my part.
And I should, and if we want people to listen, I should maybe make that possible.
Oh man, we are consummate professionals.
Absolutely. Publishers, if you're listening, please work with us. Like, we take it very seriously, which we do.
We do.
And it all turned out, like, we're both recording now and the episode's up.
It's all good.
Yeah, everything's fine.
I'm so excited for today's episode.
Oh my gosh.
It's our second Book It Book Club pick, and we read The Prophets by Robert Jones Jr.
Yes.
And Michael picked it, suggested it, so it was such a good pick.
Oh, I totally agree, and I was so eager and anxious to read this book in general. It was already in my list of books that I knew I was going to read this year, and... one of my favorite local indies, Downbound Books, had posted that they had signed copies.
Oh.
I mean, several months ago. And so I DM'd them and I was like, hi, can I have? And they were like, yeah. So once I got that, I was like, you know what? Like, this is my year of yes. I'm just going to like put that out into the universe and we're going to reach out. And if we are able to get an interview with him, then we will make this our book club pick because I was desperate to talk to him. And I'm so glad that this has worked out because it was an amazing book to read.
Yeah.
So let's do, I'll give a very quick synopsis of The Prophets. The Prophets is a book about two men, Samuel and Isaiah, who are enslaved men on a Mississippi plantation during the antebellum period. And they're in love, and their relationship is pretty well known.
Yeah.
But what I loved about this book was that it at once was totally about them and their relationship, but also told through an unbelievable amount of voices, where each character felt so individual, and had agency about their stories, while still the center of the story was about these two men's deep and profound love for each other, and how at that time it was a complicated thing to define.
What was your quick one-sentence review? How many stars? What's your take?
5 out of 5 stars for me. Mm-hmm. I was emotional on every page and felt what is my one of my favorite things about reading is getting lost in the text and fully immersing myself into the actual reading experience. I loved this book.
Yeah. Yeah, same for me. 5 out of 5. It's definitely in my top 5 of books that I have read so far this year.
Me too.
And it was, I think I texted you, it's literature with capital L.
Yes.
Just as you said, so deeply moving, so deeply thoughtful. And mm-hmm. every time I got to the end of a chapter, I just felt like it was a new perspective on, you know, it was kind of an ever-changing, I don't want to say it was like a puzzle because you understood what was happening, but it just enhanced your understanding and your deep empathy. And
yes,
this hasn't been a one sentence review. I can't be one sentence about this book. I am a very quick reader. I usually am through books in 2-3 days tops. And I sat with this book and was slow with it and appreciated it and sat with the characters and thought about them when the book was closed.
Whew. I actually think puzzle is pretty apt because it did feel that way in such a subtle way. It wasn't like a puzzle like a murder mystery is, but it was the climax of the book came together in a way that was unexpected. But in reading the climax, you thought about everything you had just read and it just made sense. It just felt like these things happened because of everything I've been told. I think puzzle is a perfect word for it.
Yeah. It just popped into my head. It feels like this metaphor may not work for everyone. You know, the kids get those books where you get the paintbrush wet and you go over the picture and the colors fill in.
Yeah.
It feels like that to me.
Wow. Wow. Jill, that was lovely.
Sometimes all of that time I spent doing child art projects for years and years and years, just really.
It comes back to you when you need it most.
It does. It does.
Today's sponsor could not be more perfect. Gay Shorts is a limited series Pride Month podcast featuring LGBTQ+ stories and conversations hosted, produced, and edited by Madeline Call at Honeysuckler Productions, who you'll recognize as our producer over here on Book It. I love Gay Shorts so much. Each week of Pride, someone from the LGBTQ+ community reads their story or play or essay, and then afterwards, that person and Maddie have a conversation about it. Maddie actually reached out to me to write a story for the first episode, which is currently streaming, and I feel so honored to have been a part of it. And while writing the story was super fulfilling and meaningful, the conversation Maddie and I had afterwards meant even more to me. It really was an amazing experience, and I really hope other people feel connected to it as well. You can listen to Gay Shorts wherever podcasts are streamed, and please go follow them on Instagram at GayShortsPod. So for a reminder, our first book club pick was The Kindest Lie by Nancy Johnson. And when we had our book club conversation about that, we talked a lot about perspective and place because those two things were really powerful and strong in that book. So I'm curious, Jill, what would you consider to be the aspects of this book that immediately stood out to you?
It's so interesting because I hadn't made that connection until you just said it. But this one also is very profoundly about perspective and place. Yes,
but isn't that so?
But it's totally different.
It could not be more different. Yes.
That's really, I had not put that together. It's for me, that is the biggest thing that stood out.
Yeah.
And also that I haven't ever read a story like this. It's not a perspective that I had heard. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where as I was reading it, it I was like, oh, what else is there in this vein? Like, what else can I read to learn more about this, to immerse right. myself in it more? And it's not.
Yeah. And that is a shared feeling, I think, across. That's what I'm hearing a lot from people who've read the book. And no spoilers here, but we were able to talk to Robert Jones Jr., which is a future episode, and which was a reason why he continued writing it, is mm-hmm. because it was also a book that a perspective he hadn't read. And I think because of that, I think that's also why it felt so emotional, because it felt really personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious, because of course this book was all over Bookstagram at the top of the year. I'm curious mm-hmm. what your expectations were going into it.
That's a really good question, because I don't know if I could suss out the difference between that I really wanted to read it mm-hmm. and what that meant my expectations were, because I definitely expected that to like it, and I expected to feel emotional, especially because of some of the comparisons that I'd been seeing in yeah. terms of the writing style. You know, people are comparing it to Toni Morrison's way of writing, and those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And yeah. so I think I was nervous for sure, because I wanted to love it, and made me take so much time reading it. So I think my expectations were nervous, thinking I'll probably really like it, and then ultimately just loving it, and is easily in my top five of 2021 so far. What about you?
Good, bad, or indifferent. Whenever I see something getting a lot of attention and people start throwing around really lofty accolades,
right,
I'm immediately suspect.
Yes. Or as the kids say,
it's sus. Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe they're not anymore.
You know, is it cap? I don't know, because I still haven't figured that word out yet. But it was one of those things where I read the synopsis and I was like, yeah. oh, this sounds good. Mm-hmm. And I had read, you know, like a couple one paragraph excerpts. And, you know, again, I'm like, oh, sounds good. Yeah. Yeah. You were excited about it. Bookstagram's excited about it. And I was like, all right. But I was just the whole time trying to temper my expectations. Like, sure. just don't build this into something it's not, Jill. And then I got in with it and I was like, oh, no, nothing anyone has said could even come close to capturing
Yes.
how amazing it is.
Which is also, I think, a conversation about how much it's not something I'd ever read before. Yeah. Because I have in the past loved books that have been exactly what they promised they were going to be. So then I don't know how to say what I want to say without sounding like a jerk.
Books that came with the same buildup that met your expectations but didn't blow you away. They were what they said they were going to be. Whereas this book was everything everybody said it was going to be, but then it was also so much more.
Yes, to your point, because like, how could they describe what this was? Like,
yeah, I don't know how.
You couldn't, because no. you have to read it to understand it.
Yeah. I'm with you. I get it.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Thank you for helping me through that. Because I don't want to sound like I don't love books that I say I love, because they are what they say they're going to be. I do love those books. But because that's been how it's been lately for me, I loved how surprised I was by the context of this book.
So one of the things you mentioned in the amazing synopsis that you did was talk about how many voices there are in this book.
Yeah.
And at one point in our reading, I think I texted you and said, if I were plotting this book, it would be like the crime investigative unit wall, yes. where they've got all the pins on the board with the string between them.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, every voice is authentic and unique.
Yes.
Every single one. So well drawn. deeply. I mean, there are quote unquote side characters, but even they have are fairly well developed. I mean, it is a thing of beauty. I just don't even know what else to say.
I don't know. That is the exact image of how it would be for me too. And it would be an impossible task because no one's part was unimportant. Yeah. And to your point, certain characters came in and out in a chapter, but their presence was on every page following their chapter.
Yeah.
And they were important to what happens to Samuel and Isaiah on top of having their own story. I mean, I loved how complicated each person's perspective was within themselves and within the overarching story that was being told. I loved how omniscient the narration was to allow those stories to take flight and for the characters to have total agency. I particularly loved Adam, which is a great example of he's not in the book very much. I mean, he is a complicated character because of who his parents are. And he has one chapter from his perspective almost at the very end of the book. And he's talked about here and there before then, but his chapter is not very long.
Yeah.
But so profound and is a great example of, I can't imagine how difficult this was for Robert Jones Jr. because the level of attention on each character felt like the level of attention some writers have on an entire book.
Yes. And to your point, presenting not just the perspective of those who were enslaved on the plantation, but the enslavers.
Yes.
And to deliver both with such clarity. I mean,
yes.
I'm curious what your take on the inclusion of both sides without making it seem like you both sized the situation. Like when I got to those chapters, I was like, oh no, don't make me feel bad for these people.
Exactly. But also, like, I think what was so strong about including the slave owners was that it was so dialed into their way of thinking that it could only be read as deeply racist, wildly problematic, and villainous. Mm-hmm. And I think that being so omniscient and dialing into every single thought that these characters in their past and in the present story made it very clear how shitty these people are.
Right. Yeah. So it's really interesting that you use the word villain. So what I've been rolling around in my brain since we talked to Robert Jones Jr. is that in reading it, you're kind of, if you're me, you're focused on the quote unquote villain being Paul or being James, the people who are in charge and own the plantation. Mm-hmm. And then it almost, and maybe even a little bit, I mean, he was used, and so it's maybe with a small v villain, Amos. And for me, you miss, it sneaks up on you that Timothy is going to ultimately end up being the person we should have been worried about all along without spoilers. And
it's book club.
I know, right? And also the impact of wielding Christianity as a weapon in general.
Oh my gosh. I know. That is such a good point, Jill. And you're right about Timothy. Especially because the first time we hear about him is from his family. And to his family, he's different.
He's a woke liberal.
He's progressive. Like, wow, good for Timothy. He went to school up north. And to your point, you kind of are like, okay, like, he's probably not very good. And then you get his... it gets into his perspective, and it's even worse than you could have imagined.
No, it's just he is a threat not only to their physical safety, but to the thing that sustains them through this entire harrowing situation. And you're like, you're so focused on, please don't let this happen. Please don't let this happen. Please don't let this happen. And then whoosh.
Yeah. To your point, it feels
did
so
not
much
not see
like a
that coming.
Piece. Yes. Yeah, it was Timothy was a really hard, was one of the hardest characters for me to read.
Yeah.
Of course, as it should have been. I really loved what you said about Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, in this book, it's wielded as a weapon. I mean, as it is even today, surrounding homosexuality in general. But, you know, I think Amos tries to harness it, I think, in a way that he thinks is good. He wants to protect mm-hmm. Essie. And, you know, can he set up a situation where maybe he gets some benefits and they all, you know, improve conditions, yeah. not realizing that ultimately he's a pawn.
Yes.
While also wielding a weapon.
Yeah. Amos, with regards to Christianity, was really heartbreaking. And which is another, I mean, great example of perspective in this book, was because if we didn't have Amos's perspective, it would have been much easier to really dislike Amos.
Yeah.
But getting into his perspective, you see that he is also trying to survive.
Yeah.
And he made a lot of mistakes in what he decided to do. And I think that something else with, especially with regards to Christianity, there's a lot in this book about people's need for signs to justify their terrible actions mm-hmm. and how a lot of times people can bend whatever the meaning is to work in their favor. Like if they're looking for a sign, they create a sign out of nothing. And there's a section when Paul, the I guess the patriarch of the plantation, he's gone to the barn where Samuel and Isaiah stay. And it reads, "At that moment, the sun revealed itself, and inch by inch began to shine down on the standing Isaiah and Samuel, touching their crowns as though they were actually consecrated, bright in a way that didn't hinder sight, but did make the face pinch a little. Inside, Paul begged for a stray cloud, something that would dim the glowing and perhaps act as a sure sign that the divine wasn't singling out the wretched before him for blessing. And then he realized that the light itself was the message, giving him the insight, guiding his wisdom, confirming his authority, God showing him the way with the first thing he had ever created." And that is, reading that part, first of all, I have chills because it is so beautifully written. Robert Jones Jr. is the best, is one of the best sentence writers I've ever read.
Yeah.
And it was a great example of people are going to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And they're going to find the signs they need to do it, to not feel bad for it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite paragraphs in the book, I'll read an excerpt from it, says, "This is why Isaiah and Samuel didn't care, why they clung to each other, even if it was offensive to the people who had once shown them a kindness. It had to be known. And why would this be offensive? How could they hate the tiny bursts of light that shot through Isaiah's body every time he saw Samuel? Didn't everybody want somebody to flow like that?"
I have chills all over my body.
Yeah, and that's both in this book and today when we talk about Christianity and same-sex relationships. I read this paragraph and I was like, yes, this is
–
the God I know wants everyone to see and feel this love. We talk about this so much. We think we've come so far. Mm-hmm. And yet this language could have existed in the antebellum period and it exists right now.
Why don't we just spend the next 2 hours just reading the book?
Just reading excerpts.
Yeah. It's so beautiful.
Yes, I marked so many paragraphs in this book. It is, I'm excited for our listeners to read it. If you have like a book club that that actually is Zooming or meeting,
yeah,
this is a great pick because there is so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And there's no part of it that's not interesting or worth exploring.
Let's talk a little bit about something we haven't touched on yet is how the book not only shifts in perspective, but shifts in time. As the reader, Robert Jones Jr. trusts us to figure that out without him telling us too much.
Yeah.
And the chapters that go back in time and place into Africa, there's no introduction to that. It just starts. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on that?
I really liked it because when I first encountered it, it was confusion, you know? I was like, wait, what's happening? And I had read, you know, a page and a half, and I went back and I read it again. And I don't say that as a criticism. I think it's a strength. I was like, wait. And so it drew my attention. What am I looking for? What am I taking away from this? And then even on the second reading, I had gone in with my, you know, cisgender assumption about the pronouns and the honorific titles that were being used. And then I realized, no, I've made a mistake. And I flipped the page back again. But it was a joy. It was part of the discovery and part of the experience of reading it. It wasn't a confusion like, I don't get what's going on. This is dumb.
Right.
It was like, and look how my perspective and how my assumptions impacted this versus what's really going on. And how when the outsiders encountered it, their reaction being less known of the world than me were even more so. And so I felt like it immersed me in the story in a really real way, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And it challenged you and it challenged us in ways that I think fiction ought to. And as readers, it was just a fun experience of this is just a book that made me a better reader. And I like books like that, that are, we said this at the beginning of the year, we wanted to read more books that challenged us. And I think that's the only thing we've done this year is read extremely challenging books. And I'm so glad.
Yeah. I came off of this book. It's so interesting because, you know, reading, it ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
And I came off of this book and I was concerned like 3/4 of the way in because I had some things I wanted to get read. I was like, this is a big, this is heavy. Like, I'm going to come off of this and I'm not going to feel like doing that. And I was kind of looking through, like, do I have anything light and fun? And it was the exact opposite. The ending is so hopeful. Oh. And you come off of it flying high, like, whoa, that was... Mm-hmm. That was amazing, and I loved it, and I flew 3 books in the next 10 days.
You did? Yeah. No, you had no need to be worried.
No, I was on some kind of reading high coming off this book. It had so much serotonin, my brain was like, woo!
I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because we haven't even talked about an aspect of this book, too, is Isaiah doesn't know his birth name, and people on the plantation do, and they're kind of holding that over his head. We know from a very early point of the book what his birth name is. And I don't know if this is a spoiler. Isaiah actually does know too, but he doesn't realize that what he was hearing was his name. So throughout the book, you have this in the back of your head that Isaiah, this deep want for him to learn his name. And you get near to the end of the book and you realize he doesn't know yet. And the climax is, to your point, Jill, so hopeful. And the end is so hopeful and beautiful that I also was, I wasn't worried about reading after this, but I was shocked at how hopeful I felt by the end of this book. And even more so after we talked to Robert Jones Jr. in his reasonings and why he chose to end on a hopeful note, I got so teary as he was talking about it. And I think also because I have such a profound love for Isaiah, and he is one of my favorite characters I've read in a really long time. Mm-hmm. And it was it it made for such a satisfying read, because the book is it is a heavy book, and it will be challenging for people, but I don't think that should dissuade anybody from reading it.
No, it is as deep of an experience as you want it to be. Talking about the ending is probably a good segue. So this is our book club pick, and we did get to talk to Robert Jones Jr. So what is next for our listeners?
So if you've been following us on Instagram at BookitPod, we've been posting book club conversation questions and ways for you to engage with us as we read it following up to this episode. If you head to our website, we will have a full list of book club type questions on there for you to use for your personal book clubs, or for you to just do as you read along if you haven't finished the book. We did our best to do spoiler free in this conversation, so I think you'll be fine. If you haven't had time to finish the book, do not worry, because you still have another 2 weeks before our next episode comes out, which is our conversation with Robert Jones Jr., who is the author of The Prophets.
And it's so good.
It is one of the best conversations I've ever had with anybody, known or not.
I agree.
Yeah. This was so fun, Jill. I'm so happy. This is one of my favorite things that we decided to do in season two, because I think it best encapsulates what we try to do on Book It all of the time.
Yes. And I mean, we managed to start recording the episode and, you know, maybe it'll get uploaded and
who knows? If you've listened to this, like, I am patting myself on the back, because that means that I haven't failed yet.
Yes, exactly.
Until next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Book It, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk frankly about books.
Book It is available across podcast platforms.
Subscribe to never miss an episode, and don't forget to leave a review before you go.
We'd love to stay in touch. You can find us online at bookitpod.com or on Instagram and Twitter at bookitpod.
Want to read something you heard on today's episode? Visit us at bookshop.org/shop/bookitpod.
Book It was created by hosts Jill Burkett-Ragacy and Michael Woodson, with sound design and production by Madeline Call at Honeysuckler.